gospel lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of John. And I'm reading from the 17th chapter, verses 20 through 26. Listen for the word of our Lord. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Sisters and brothers, this is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. I know this may be a little late and kind of a shock, but happy Ascension Day. Technically, it was Thursday. It was the 40th day after Easter. And I know that you all woke up that morning and celebrated dutifully and had a good time. This Ascension Day marks the day that Jesus ascended fully to dwell with the Father in heaven. And while many churches still have services on that day, at least some churches still have services on that day, as American Presbyterians, we usually just push it back to the next Sunday. We are very, very, very good at keeping our time in church to a minimum. We want to make sure that we're very efficient with everything as Presbyterians. So we celebrate this Sunday, which is the final Sunday of Easter, something of the Ascension, but with a scripture passage that comes from Jesus' prayers for his apostles and also those who would become his disciples. Excuse me, let me get it out. I'm trying to make this difference between the apostles and disciples in this conversation today so that we understand Jesus is talking and praying with his apostles there, but Jesus is also praying for the disciples who came later. He prays for all who would come to believe that he is the Messiah. And think about that just for a second. Jesus, on the night before when he was going to be betrayed, before he was beaten and given over to die on a cross, he was praying for you. He wasn't praying for himself. He was praying for his apostles, the 10 or 11 or however many people that they were at that point in time. He was praying for them, but he was praying for all of us who would become believers because of what they believed and heard and showed to them later. It's an amazing thing to think about in his final hours. He was praying for me and you and your families. Just something you might want to carry with you when you go. This is what I read today, a section of what is often called the priestly prayer. It's called a priestly prayer because Jesus, as the intercessor between us and God, is doing what we call a priestly function. He is praying for others to the Father so that their understanding of the Father and their relationship through him will be better. Now, this priestly prayer is long, and I did not read all of it to you, lest you decide that you needed to be somewhere else in the middle of it and run. But there are three themes that go throughout this priestly prayer. And the very first one is love. That's all you need, right? The Beatles said so. And who am I to mess with the Beatles? He prays for all people to accept the love that God has for them. The love that is displayed by Christ both in his actions prior to the moment that and what transpires after this moment. He is praying that people will understand that his going to the cross and dying for them for the remission of their sins is an act of love. The second theme is this belief. Jesus is praying for all to have the ability to believe in God and God's plan for God's creation. Especially the prayers are for those who have not seen him and yet will believe because of those who have seen Jesus and those who will feel Jesus' presence still. He is praying for those who have seen him, have been with him, who have understood face to face that in their belief and their actions, based on Jesus' actions, that we who have not been there, were not in that time and place, would come to believe also. And that we too would become disciples along with the apostles and everyone else who had seen Jesus. By their belief, all others will come to believe that Christ, the Messiah, is indeed Jesus. And finally, Jesus prays for the believer's unity by the power of the Spirit. It is a result of their belief and the love in which God has done in Jesus' actions, has shown in Jesus' actions, that he is praying for this unity of all people who come to believe. That through this great love that leads to this belief in that love and what Jesus said and done, that all people who believed in him would now live in unity, coming together by the power of the Spirit as one, just as Jesus is with the Father in heaven. He prays for us to be in unity with one another and with the Father in heaven. The outcome that Jesus is praying for is the apostles' belief will be evident through love and unity, and that will give credence to their testimony of God's love and unity with all creation. All this is kind of basic, right? You know this. You've been around a while. You've been Christians for a while. And you probably know this stuff about love that I'm going to talk to you about. This love that is used to bind us up into one unified body. It is agape love. It is a love that provides what someone needs, not necessarily what someone wants. It is not eros, the erotic love, or philos, the brotherly love. It is agape. And it is, for the writer of the Gospel of John, the basis for all of our relationship, first with God, and then with others, and it ties us all together. That this type of love, this agape love, is what ties us all together with the Son and with the Father and with one another. The unity that Jesus prays for is founded in reciprocal love, the kind of self-giving love that we see in the life of Jesus. It's the kind of love that is as much a decision and a choice as it is a feeling. It's the kind of love that can be commanded. Jesus commands us to love one another, just as God commanded Jesus to love us all. It is a love that sometimes is easy and graceful, and yet sometimes it is not easy or graceful at all. It is difficult and hard and painful to love some people, at least in some times. It is a love that has a character of a gift, something that God has given to us in the vision and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It is a gift to us to understand that we should be striving for that love as opposed to other loves. It is a gift that God gives to us, as is the whole Word of God. It is a gift. And at other times, it's more about being faithful to our commitments through decision and choice than doing what we want to do. It is a love that calls us to sacrifice for others, just as Jesus sacrificed for us. This is the love paddled up in belief that gives us all unity with Jesus and God the Father. It is a unity born and sustained by the love of God for us, this agape love that is exhibited in Jesus' life, His atoning death, and His resurrection, that this is what He wants and prays to the Father that we might receive. It is this love that brings unity out of belief and that will power the apostles to fulfill the mission that they are given, perhaps summed up best in Matthew 28:19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. This is the essence, the being of a unified body of apostles, baptizing, teaching, and obeying Christ demands to them. And it begins to give us the efficacy, that which is the ability to accomplish a purpose for the church, both the universal church and the small church. This is what gives the efficacy for us to do what Jesus has commanded us to do, to believe, to love, and to be unified. Neither we nor the apostles so very long ago can accomplish the mission of the church to make disciples of all nations, nor the mission of a particular church like good old College Presbyterian Church here in HSCVA, if we do not have unity. And I have to tell you that today, here and throughout our country, and indeed in the whole church throughout the world, the unity of Christians has been and is under attack. Just in this past month, 6 called and installed Presbyterian ministers in the Presbytery of the Peaks, which is about 8% of all installed pastors out of 132 churches, have left their congregations. All of them under duress, all of them with different sordid reasons attached to it. It's a plague of being on the Committee on Ministry in the Presbytery. There, you get to deal with all of that. Each is a different way, all very much with distressed congregations and pastors. One who seems to want to abandon their ordination altogether. But all of these we can plug into the root source of this current COVID-19 vaccine. The unity of the church has been disrupted as we have been isolated. It's a terrible thing to lose that which God gave us to take to the world, and it makes us impotent, impotent, unable to do what we've been commanded. Unity is the result of God's love and our belief in Jesus, His acts of salvation. We are to be a unified body of Christ, literally a body that is made up of us all, participating in the life of the church, both church universal and the small church, Time and time again in his earthly ministry, Jesus modeled the truth that at the deepest moments of life are those when our hearts and habits are wide enough to include others. In COVID, too often, our moments have turned into exclusionary moments of being by ourselves. In this prayer, Jesus tells us to expect unity as a result of love and belief, at least in the church. And we should be seeking unity born of belief and love, a unity within that which is so great that we can influence, model that to one another in the church, the surrounding community, our nation, and indeed the whole world, so that they will understand the joy of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Perhaps the biggest challenge of the church today, the one that we face, is a new COVID reality. It is the effect of that isolation and upheaval in homes and communities that has come to us all. While we feel here somewhat immune in so many ways in our little island in the middle of the Garden of Eden, the fact is it has impacted us as well. People have slipped away and not been brought back. But we are not the only ones. We see it when we turn on our televisions. We look at Uvalde, Texas, and Buffalo, New York, and we all scream out with all of the people on TV about gun control. And yes, there are things we could do better with making sure that weapons don't get into the wrong hands, if at all possible. However, the rise in gun death surged at the very beginning of the isolation necessitated by COVID. Not because of more guns, but because of more isolation. Especially to the population that needs it so very much, those who have mental illness. It's a conversation we don't want to talk about much. As we live in a community or in a commonwealth where people who work in homes for the mentally ill make less money than people who work at Chick-fil-A, we really don't want to talk about mental illness. And yet, from having been on this campus with hundreds of young men who have come to us in an impressionable age, I have seen firsthand the numbers of those with mental illness rise. Being isolated is not good for God's humans. We have this isolation and less mental health care and less unity born of love and belief. As Presbyterians, being in unison, in unity, is inherent in our theology and our polity. We need to be together to be Presbyterians. We have modeled a church, a denomination, on the words that Jesus prayed for us. We do not need to email more or send more text or to Zoom a whole bunch. We need to be together. That is what the church is called to do, is to show the love of Jesus, which comes from and gets us into unity with one another and with God. It is how we go about being able to make disciples of all people. It's doing what Christ prayed for us to do 2,000 years ago. Today, more than ever, we need to let God's love, Jesus' love, shine through us to a world in desperate need of unity with the Father and the Son. Let us live into Jesus' prayer. Let us be unified. Seek those who are lost. Bring them back to the fold. Seek those who have never been in the fold. Let us be a unified community that brings glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. Amen.